ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट नंबर 22। स एष जीवन खलु संपरेतो वर्तेतो योत्यंत नृशंसितेन देहमृते तं मनुजा शपन्ति गन्ता त्वमुन्धं तनुमानिनो ध्रुवम्। सपोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: A person who is very cruel is regarded as dead even while living, for while he is living or after his death, everyone condemns him. And after the death of a person in the bodily concept of life, he is undoubtedly transferred to the hell known as Andhatama. Purport. Kamsa considered that if he killed his sister while living, he would be condemned by everyone, and after death he would go to the darkest region of hellish life because of his cruelty. It is said that a cruel person like a butcher is advised not to live and not to die. While living, a cruel person creates a hellish condition for his next birth, and therefore he should not live. But he is also advised not to die, because after death he must go to the darkest region of hell. Thus, in either circumstances, he is condemned. Kamsa, therefore, having good sense about the science of soul's transmigration, deliberately refrained from killing Devaki. In this verse, the words Ganta Tamondham Tanumani No Dhruvam are very important and require extensive understanding. Srila Jiva Goswami in his Vaishnav Toshini Tika says, Tatra Tanumanina Papina Iti Dehatma Buddheva Papa Bhini Visho Bhavati. One who lives in the bodily concept thinking, I am this body, involves himself by the very nature of this conception in a life of sinful activities. Anyone living in such a conception is to be considered a candidate for hell. Adanta gobhir vishatam tamishram punha punascharvita charvananam. Bhagavatam 7:5:30. One who is in the bodily concept of life has no control over sense gratification. Such a person can do anything sinful to eat, drink, be merry and enjoy a life of sense gratification, not knowing of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. Such a person does whatever he likes, whatever he imagines, and therefore, being subject to the laws of nature, he suffers miserably again and again in different material bodies. Yavat kriyastavat idam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. Bhagavatam 5:5:5. In the bodily concept of life, a person is karmanu bandha, or conditioned by karma. And as long as the mind is absorbed in karma, one must accept a material body. Sharira bandha, bondage to the material body, is a source of misery, kleshada. Nasadhu manne yata atmanoyam. आवाज नहीं आ रहा है माता जी की तरफ, मेरा आवाज आ रहा है लेकिन न साधु मन्ने यत आत्मनोयम असन अपि क्लेशद आस देह। ऑल्दो द बॉडी इज टेम्पररी, इट ऑलवेज गिव्स वन ट्रबल इन मेनी वेज, बट ह्यूमन सिविलाइजेशन इज नाउ अनफॉर्चुनेटली बेस्ड ऑन तनु मानी द बॉडीली कंसेप्ट ऑफ लाइफ, by which one thinks, I belong to this nation, I belong to this group, I belong to that group, and so on. Each of us has his own ideas, and we are becoming increasingly involved individually, socially, communally, and nationally in the complexities of karmanubandha sinful activities. For the maintenance of the body, men are killing so many other bodies and becoming implicated in karmanubandha. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami says that tanu mani, those in the bodily concept of life, are papi, sinful persons. For such sinful persons, the ultimate destination is the darkest region of hellish life, Gantha Tamondham. In particular, a person who wants to maintain his body by killing animals is most sinful and cannot understand the value of spiritual life. In the Bhagavad Gita 16.19 and 20, the Lord says, Tanaham dushata kruran samsareshu naradhaman shipami ajasram ashubhan asureshu eva yonishu asuram yonim appanna mudha janmani janmani mam apraapyaiva kaunteya tatho yanti adhamam gatim. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Attaining repeated birth among the species of demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down the most abominable type of existence. A human being is meant to understand the value of human life, which is the boon obtained after many, many births. Therefore, one must free oneself from tanu mani, the bodily concept of life, and realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation once again. A person who is very cruel is regarded as dead even while living. For while he is living or after his death, everyone condemns him. And after the death of a person in the bodily concept of life, he is undoubtedly transferred to the hell known as Andha Tama. Hare Krishna. Seeking blessings of all wonderful Vaishnavas here. The two things which are mentioned in translation, we'll try to focus on that today. One is cruel nature of a person, and second is the bodily concept of life. In the early days of ISKCON, 1966, around that time, when Srila Prabhupada was giving a class in 26 Second Avenue, that time, while Prabhupada was giving class to a group of new devotees, just in the neighborhood there was a gang of motorcycle gang. So they were not happy with the devotees seeing them happy. So they would always cause some trouble to the devotees. So one day while Prabhupada was giving class, this motorcycle gang, five of them, they came with their motorcycle just outside the door, and they were in the bike and they were speeding the bike without going ahead. That means they were making sound, grrr, grrr, like that. A small storefront, and Prabhupada had to stop because there was so much of loud sound, five motorbikes just at the edge of the door, and they are racing the speed. And then they went away. So Prabhupada continued his class. After 5 minutes, they all came back, and again they started doing the same thing, grrr, grrr. And Prabhupada waited for some time and then again went away. This happened for 3-4 times. So Prabhupada was very cool and calm. One devotee was a little upset. So he went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, should I go and tell them not to make sound? And Prabhupada said to him that, don't you know the mind of a materialistic person? You tell him something, he will do all the more. Just tolerate. So after some time, what happened is, as Prabhupada said, they kept on doing it 4 or 5 times and they saw no response, so they went away. So Prabhupada later told all the devotees very in his witty way that people in this world are always trying to harm others, trouble others, very cruel. Such people who are trying to harm others and trouble others, such people, like Prabhupada said, these people are coming and doing guru, 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 continuously they are trying to trouble us by their sound. So with their sound they are trying to trouble us. So Prabhupada says such people in the next life will become flies and then they will do goo goo and trouble others. So this is the nature of a cruel person. He is himself disturbed, but he is not happy seeing others happy. So he wants to disturb them also. So we have example of Kamsa here. And Kamsa's cruelty is famous. Even today people know about his cruelty. In fact, even today in Mathura, there is one place called as, I think so, Rangamanch. Ranga? Rangashala. The place where Krishna was invited, Krishna and Balaram was invited to fight to Chandur Mushtik, and the place where Krishna killed Kamsa. So that place is still there. So the Tithi, when Kamsa was killed, that Tithi is celebrated in Mathura. So on that Tithi, all Mathuravasis go to that Rangashala, and just like in Ramlila Maidan, people make the huge statue of Ravan. So they make a huge statue of Kamsa, and all the Mathuravasis who are staying, they come with lathis, and they start beating that Kamsa statue. And they start speaking all abusing words to him, that you are the one who caused trouble to Mathura. So this is even today. So cruel, I mean, Kamsa was so cruel. Sometimes people can be cruel, but people are forgotten. Their cruelty is forgotten. But Kamsa's cruelty even today remembered. And people want to beat him for his cruelty. In fact, Vrindavan, many times there were so many attacks on Vrindavan. So many Mughal emperors came and attacked. But there was one famous Mughal emperor, Aurangzeb, whose attack is so well known that people think that Aurangzeb must be Kamsa come again. That means again Kamsa is remembered. 600 years back, Aurangzeb came, but he is not considered as a personality as separate. He must be representative of Kamsa. That was Kamsa's cruelty. So this is how we can see here that Kamsa is so cruel that he is, we can see that he was ready to kill even the children of his own sister, Devaki. It's a very cruel act to kill a young baby just born. Just mashing the baby six times in a row. How cruel, just for his own life. So I was hearing a nice class of Kavichandra Maharaj, and he was mentioning that we always feel that, you know, that non-devotees are very cruel. But he was mentioning that sometimes devotees can also be cruel in their life. And he was mentioning a nice pastime of Ramayana, that how Ravan, he was so cruel, and everyone in his kingdom knew that Ravan was doing something wrong. He had kidnapped Sita, and now the whole Vanar Sena with Lord Ramachandra had come just on the outskirts. The whole act of building a setu and coming, and still Ravan is not able to come to his senses. Mandodari is instructing Ravan, and others are also losing confidence that Ram can slay and defeat everyone. So Ravan, every time he was given good advice, Kavichandra Maharaj was mentioning, Ravan would only say one, I am Lanka Raj. I am Lanka Raj. I can never be wrong. Because Ravan was victorious over all demigods, so he always felt that how I can be wrong. And above all, I am Lanka's Raja. I am Lanka Raj. So Maharaj mentioning nice point, Kavichandra Maharaj, that sometimes devotees can also, when we become senior, we may think, you know, I am Lanka Raj. Whatever I say is right. How can you give me suggestions? Like that. So he was mentioning, came to this realization today morning that sometimes we can, even while helping others, other devotees in their Krishna consciousness, we can be cruel. Because the way we are helping is also important. Sometimes devotees need help, definitely. But the way we help can be very cruel and not a gentle way. So that will disturb the devotee all the more. Instead of taking help from us, he will be disturbed. Why are you helping me now? Like this, in this fashion. So that can be also a cruel way of helping in Krishna consciousness. So some points about how Kamsa's mentality can also be in a devotee's life. We see here in this particular chapter, as we go on, how Kamsa is in his cruelty, in his demonic way, changing his colors. Sometimes it seems that Kamsa is speaking philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and sometimes he becomes very violent. He doesn't care for anyone. So, like for example, someone, a moralist who has never heard about Krishna book pastime, may turn to the page where Kamsa is driving his sister's chariot, and then may skip all the pages and come to the page where Krishna has killed Kamsa, his uncle. So you think, why? Kamsa is such a nice person. On the day of his sister's marriage, Kamsa, who is such a big person, He became the chariot driver. To become a chariot driver is not a... I mean, today people will like to drive cars. But at that time, in the olden days, driving a car or a chariot was considered to be low. It was given to activity which was act given to some other person employed of a lower caste. But Kamsa thought that his sister is going to get married, is already married, she is going to now husband's house. She may feel separation from the home. So he decided to himself become the chariot driver of Devaki and Vasudeva. So that was a great activity of Kamsa. Such a great puffed up person, he took up the reins of chariot driver. So it shows how much love Kamsa had. So one may glorify Kamsa had so much love. But the next instance, there is this Akashvani, and immediately the same person who loves his sister the most removes the sword from his sheath and is about to even kill Devaki. So that is how demonic person is. When he feels that his own life or his activities are in danger, he may do anything for that. And then we see that how Vasudeva was very expert in convincing Kamsa. Srila Prabhupada says Vasudeva was such a high character devotee that even Kamsa was convinced just by his gentle nature. So Kamsa agreed, okay, now you give me all your children and I have no problem. And the first son, when Vasudeva bought that first son, and then we know that how Kamsa was completely moved by Vasudeva's simplicity and his word. So he said, okay, take the first child back. I have no problem with the first child. And Vasudeva was not ecstatic that, you know, oh, I have saved my first child because of my honesty. I am a great devotee. He was knowing we cannot believe in Kamsa. Kamsa is a demonic person. His mind is uncontrolled. Today what he said, he may not even follow the next thing tomorrow. So we see that how Srila Prabhupada also said that as a devotee of Krishna, we should not much expect from the material world. Vasudeva did not expect much from Kamsa. He was happy to take the child back, but he always knew tomorrow something else may happen. So this material world and this materialistic people, we can't expect much from them. So therefore, as a devotee, one has to tolerate. Sukhe dukhe same kritva labha alabhav jaya jayo. A devotee is very equipoised whether it is in happiness or distress. If he is happy, he doesn't become ecstatic. Oh, it happened to me. And when he is in distress, he is not too much overburdened by distress. He keeps his equipoised nature because he knows it is all temporary. It's not going to last. Anything in the material world, happiness or distress is going to change. In fact, just recently I read a nice statement from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's book, and he made a very powerful statement which was initially difficult for me to understand, but then when I read the remaining lines, it makes sense. The first line of that particular paragraph was, the worst thing which can happen to a devotee is he'll go back to Godhead. So I was wondering, the worst thing which can happen to a devotee is you can go back to Godhead. How is that the worst thing? Then I read the remaining lines, and he mentions that how a devotee for his service to Krishna, either in either of the ashramas, he may plan to do something for Krishna, and many times the plans may not be executed. The plans may fail, and he may be in danger, terrible danger. So it may look externally from material point of view that this devotee could not serve Krishna, he had so many problems, and finally this devotee's life ended miserably. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is mentioning a point that this whole life may be miserable, but because he served Krishna, Krishna did not see what result he got. Krishna saw that he was serving, and the result will be the worst thing which may happen is he will go back to Godhead. And the best thing is he will go back to Godhead by serving Krishna very nicely, efficiently here. Added. But at least the bare minimum is Krishna will take him back to Godhead for his endeavor in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, a devotee is not affected by external situations. So Vasudeva was not affected. He knew what's going to come next. And it happens in a particular way that Kamsa came and killed the first child. Srila Prabhupada reveals in his purport Kamsa's heart. Srila Prabhupada says, Kamsa considered that if he killed his sister while living, he would be condemned by everyone. And after death, he would go to the darkest region of hell because of his cruelty. So Kamsa also was contemplating that what are the pros and cons in regards to killing of Devaki. So it may look like Kamsa is very moralist also again, that he's thinking, oh, if I kill her, I may go to hell. Shouldn't we look, how can come such a demonic person even think of life after death and hell? Where a person is trying to regain the supreme position in this universe, even trying to overcome Lord Vishnu's position, and he is thinking, contemplating of going to hell in the next life. How is that possible? Well, it is all temporary. A person may think, but the next moment he may not think. That's demonic mentality. A mentality of a demonic person is he may think parallel to Shastra, but he may not remain fixed in that thinking. Hiranyakashipu, in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that how he was counseling his own mother and his own sister-in-law, that how they should be not lamenting over the death of Hiranyaksha. And after all that major counseling was over, exactly speaking from the purports, from Bhagavad Gita, transmigration of soul, giving his own examples, perfect lecture he gave. A perfect lecture is when you give a good example, good analogy, and you present the whole points nicely. Hiranyakashipu gave a perfect lecture. But after the lecture was over, Hiranyakashipu ordered, okay, now all of you go kill the brahmanas, kill the cow, and I'll go and perform austerities to kill Lord Vishnu. So completely different from what his view was before. Kamsa also, his view was, he's thinking of hell. But a very instant next time, again what happens? He thinks something else. In Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada mentions very beautifully that what was Kamsa thinking? When the 8th child was exchanged, and the 8th child which came as a girl child, and Kamsa saw the girl child disappearing in the sky, immediately Kamsa came to Vasudeva and Devaki. And what did Kamsa said? Kamsa told Vasudeva and Devaki that, I am very sorry. I know I caused a lot of fear to you, but I am feeling a lot of pity for you now. And I realized that I have done major wrong. And then he said, actually, I acted like a demon. He tells Vasudeva and Devaki, I killed my own nephews. I don't know what result will come to me, where I will go. He mentions that maybe I will go to hell, to the place where a Brahmana killer goes, and there I will suffer perpetually. And then he changes the point and he says, I don't know, I did all this because there was a propaganda, there was an announcement in the sky, and I felt that my life was in trouble and I killed all your sons. And Kamsa says that, Devaki, I thought that people in the human society only lie, but now in demigod society also they are lying. See what happened. He told 8th child, male child will kill me, but your 8th child was a girl child. So he was trying to also defend himself. And Kamsa, then he says that ultimately should not worry, the soul is eternal, the soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and we are all suffering our predestined activities. He mentions that the body changes, but the soul remains same. And then he gives example, just like the pot, it is made of earth. The pot may change, but the earth remains same. So he gives good analogy to support his point. And then he mentions that, please understand that I was acting unwillingly. I didn't want to act. But your predestined activities and my predestined activities were forcing me. And then he mentioned, ultimately, that please still excuse me for my atrocities. I'm a poor-hearted person and I'm feeling lot of repentance. When Kamsa said this, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book, Devaki forgot all the pain she had because of all the loss of her children. She felt that Kamsa is now changing. Okay, good. And she immediately went to her brother and said, no, please don't say like this. I also agree that whatever you are saying, it all happens, no problem. Now everything is okay. So Kamsa could convince Devaki by his gentle activities that how he is actually not to be mistaken. But then what happens? Kamsa goes to the assembly hall and then calls all his ministers. And now you will see Kamsa again, a complete change in his personality. Kamsa calls his counselors and narrates the whole incident, what happened, that how that lady, that small child became a huge demigoddess, and then how she told him that your time factor, the male child is born somewhere else. So immediately Kamsa told, so what should we do? What should be done now? And everyone gathered together and they were counseling and they were sharing. And finally they came to conclusion that Kamsa should not be depressed. Why? because Kamsa is very powerful. And they reminded Kamsa that, Kamsa, don't you remember when you went to fight with demigods, how they were so much terrified? They all raised their flags, white flags, and they removed the turbans, and they say, Hare Krishna, not Hare Krishna, but they say, I surrendered to you. Don't you remember your victory? So Kamsa was reminded of his victory over demigods and said, don't worry, so demigods, they will never come against you. Regarding Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, said, Lord Vishnu is hidden in the heart of his devotees, so he will never come out. But don't worry about him. And Lord Brahma, he is too much engaged in austerities and tapasya, so he has no time for this. And Lord Shiva, he is meditating, so he will never come. So don't have to worry with anyone, you just continue your atrocity activities. And then they give very good advice to him, that why don't you start killing all the babies who have been born for last 10 days? And this way, you can actually kill your enemy. And Kamsa said, yes. Actually, Lord Vishnu gets his nourishment, Kamsa said, by yajna, from the brahmanas, and from the Vedic knowledge, from austerities. So he told, stop all these things everywhere. If these things are all stopped, brahmanas are killed, cow is killed, the Vedic civilization is ruined, Lord Vishnu will not get his nourishment. And this way I can easily defeat Lord Vishnu. So just see a complete change of personality. What he is speaking at first instance and the next instance is changing his philosophy altogether, just to suit his needs. So that is the nature of a cruel person. He always changes. So Srila Prabhupada makes a nice point here, that why a person is cruel in this material world. Srila Prabhupada says, this is all because of bodily concept of life. More a person is deep into the bodily concept of life, he becomes crueler, because he feels that something is going to lose, and therefore he wants to hold it. And whoever comes in his way, he wants to remove the person from his life. So the main root cause of cruelty is bodily concept. And bodily concept, Srila Prabhupada is saying here, that it is called as the concept of I and mine. Srila Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami in this verse, and Srila Prabhupada says, Jiva Goswami says that people in the bodily concept, they are thinking that I am this body, I am that body. I belong to this group, I belong to that group. I belong to this nation, I belong to that nation. So people in the bodily concept of life are concentrating on engaging their senses in sense pleasure. They have no control over senses. Their whole focus is, throughout our life, our senses should enjoy. And for this, Prabhupada said, they can do anything sinful, to eat, marry and to drink. I was recently hearing a class of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and he was mentioning a nice point, that a devotee of Krishna is trying to come out of bodily concept of life by trying to engage, or by trying to provide enjoyment for Krishna. So his life is dedicated to make it sure that all the enjoyment goes to Krishna. And then Maharaj was mentioning, Radhanath Maharaj, that but the same devotee is also scared to death to see that he does not enjoy sense gratification. So there is an attempt to make Krishna enjoy, but there is also fear that in that attempt there is always a chance of previous conditioning, that I will try to enjoy my own senses. And he was mentioning very nicely that this is the opposite psychology in the material world. In the material world, people are trying their hard to enjoy their senses, and they are scared, they are always fearing that no devotee should come to them and tell them that surrender to Krishna. So complete opposite psychology. And he was mentioning in his class that as a non-devotee, one may try to enjoy, but he is not enjoying. As a devotee, he is trying to make Krishna enjoy and enjoys more. Krishna consciousness is topmost enjoyment. You give enjoyment to Krishna, and what happens? Devotees also get best of enjoyment. And Maharaj was mentioning, Radhanath Maharaj, that a devotee gets best of everything. Best food, best music, best dance, best association, best everything. Because he is trying to give best to Krishna. So a devotee of Krishna never loses. Now what happens is, a devotee of Krishna may never lose, but when a non-devotee sees Krishna devotee happy, he becomes upset. He feels, how this person can enjoy? Srila Prabhupada often mentioned that during Prabhupada's time, when Prabhupada was preaching, there was this brainwashing movement which began. So Prabhupada mentioned that they are just simply amazed that these people, Hare Krishna, they don't work hard like us, and still they enjoy more than us. How it can happen? So that whole concept of seeing devotee enjoy created a movement of that maybe there is a brainwashing going on. So while providing enjoyment to Krishna, we enjoy. So therefore, Sarvapadi Vinur Muktam Tat Paretvane Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchati. A devotee has to just give up that upadi, that resignation, that this post, that post. The main idea is serving. The post is not important. Serving is important. So in Krishna consciousness, if we remain attached to service, then we will be always happy. Krishna will provide us Mahaprasad enjoyment of his. Yesterday I was traveling with one devotee. He was driving the car, our temple car driver. And I was just asking, so Prabhu, yesterday where you were? So he told me that I was in this house with this devotee. Day of yesterday, oh, I picked up this Prabhupada disciple and that Prabhupada disciple. So I was thinking how fortunate he is that he could have worked outside as a driver somewhere and he would maybe earn a little more. But in turn, what he must have got? No satisfaction maybe. Working for a materialistic person, getting a little more money, but no satisfaction. But now he is working in a temple, maybe getting a little less money, but he is satisfied. And what he is getting for his service in temple, sometimes he is picking proper disciples, sometimes he is picking up some sannyasis, and every day he is going for some program or other with some preachers, and wherever he is going, he is doing Abhishek of Gauranitai, he is taking nice prasad, and if he is not going anywhere, he gets nice prasad in temple. So just because he agreed to stay in temple and work here, he is enjoying more than actually what he would have enjoyed as working as a driver outside somewhere else. So this is a position of a devotee. Wherever he is, if he serves Krishna, Krishna provides him all enjoyment. Prabhupada stresses the word here, Tanu Mani. Tanu Mani, Prabhupada says, means, Mani means thinks himself. He thinks himself that he is this body. So, either this body or something attached to the body. Family, a particular group, a particular society, a particular nation. And what happens? Such a person gets overly involved in so many activities. The bodily attachment leads to so many attachments. He just gets involved into network of attachments because of this. So we can see that how this bodily concept of life is an obstacle for a devotee in Krishna consciousness. And one has to come over this bodily concept of life. It's a major challenge, at least for me, to understand that we are a spirit soul, we are not the body. I mean, Prabhupada, he was preaching Prabhupada's whole preaching career, we see, Prabhupada emphasis more on we are not the soul, we are the body. I'm sorry, we are not the body, we are the soul. Sometimes we don't hear and just, okay, we concentrated on that. We are not the body, we are soul. Prabhupada was focusing on that preaching. He was constantly preaching on that particular, you see any Prabhupada lecture, Prabhupada is speaking on the major issues, major topic is we are not the body, we are spirit souls. Because it's so ingrained in the consciousness, it's very difficult to come out of it. But the whole idea is, we serve Krishna, then sooner or later we will be able to transcend the bodily concept of life. While reading Prabhupada's pastime book, I was intrigued that how Srila Prabhupada would face the outside world. When you are with devotees, it's another life, but when you are with non-devotees, it's completely another life. So I was reading Prabhupada's pastime book where Prabhupada was traveling to Japan. And then I saw that how Prabhupada was dealing with all these people. People who are in bodily concept of life, people who are cruel, people who are trying to get something out from you. So when Prabhupada is dealing with the outside world, it's a unique way we see Prabhupada how he dealt with the outside world. So Prabhupada was traveling to Japan and Prabhupada reached Japan, Tokyo. So this particular visit, Bhurijan Prabhu and Sudama Maharaj had arranged for Prabhupada to go to Kobe. So Prabhupada was first time in Tokyo, and it was arranged that Prabhupada would travel from a bullet train from Tokyo to Kobe. It was many miles apart, but it would take just 1 hour. So Prabhupada was made to sit in a train, and then Bhurijan was told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this is bullet train, and this bullet train travels at a speed of 100 miles per hour. Because Prabhupada first time came to Tokyo, so they felt that they should inform Prabhupada about this. So Prabhupada just saw and said, they are traveling very fast, but where they are traveling, they don't know. So what is the use of traveling? They are traveling faster, but they don't know where they are traveling. And Prabhupada immediately narrated a story of Kalidas the poet. He said, Kalidas, before he became poet, he was a foolish person, murkh. And one day, this Kalidas was sitting on the branch of a tree, and he was cutting the very branch of a tree on which he was sitting with the axe. So while he was cutting, one man came, he was walking nearby from the down, and he saw that this man is cutting this very branch when he was sitting. So he told this person, Kalidas, what you are doing? If you cut that branch, you're going to fall down. So Prabhupada said, this Kalidas was very angry. He said, I am working so hard, you are not working at all. And you dare to come and stop my work. Don't you see, I'm really engrossed in working so hard, cutting this branch of a tree. But you are so envious of me that you want to stop my work. So this fellow said that this person is foolish, no need of even guiding him further. So he went away. So Kalidas kept on cutting the branch of the tree at a faster rate. And finally what happened? The branch broke and this Kalidas fell down. As soon as he fell down, Kalidas immediately got up and said, oh, that person must be an astrologer, because he predicted my future, that I was going to fall down from the branch of a tree. And he went running to the person, he caught him and said, you are an astrologer, please tell me more about my future. So Prabhupada says, it doesn't require astrology to tell a person that he is going to fall down from the branch of a tree. It's common sense. Prabhupada told, we devotees also have common sense. This whole civilization is going somewhere else, and we are telling them, where you are going? Cow killing technology is going to take you to doom. But they are thinking, these devotees, they are too pessimist. They are trying to stop our hard work. They are not working hard, they are not allowing us to also work hard. And then when something happens, then they say, something I heard from Hare Krishna, they were right. Maybe they are astrologers. So we see that how Srila Prabhupada, he was very clear. Prabhupada was not impressed by the Vedic, by Western civilization. Prabhupada was always very clear where the world is going and how they have to be guided. Prabhupada, in another visit to Japan, was meeting the Dai Nippon Company executives to strike a deal to print his Krishna book. So a very interesting thing happened there. There was one junior officer who was coordinating the whole meeting. So that time Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and I guess Harish Hari Prabhu, maybe, he was there. They were there. And there was a meeting arranged with the Dai Nippon executives. So Prabhupada, he reached that place. And Prabhupada, when he reached that place, so there was across the board, five people had come, the executives of Dai Nippon, and they sat, and there was already a time fixed, half an hour for the deal, because the executives had to go for another meeting. So both the parties had to introduce themselves. So Dai Nippon executives introduced themselves very fast. Prabhupada took his own time. For next 25 minutes, Prabhupada introduced what is International Society for Krishna Consciousness, what they are doing, everything. So after 30 minutes were over, the deal had not even begun. And the executives had to go. So they said, okay, Swamiji, we'll meet you tomorrow. And they went away. So Prabhupada had already a plan, what he is supposed to tell and how he is going to get things done from this executive. So he spoke all about a preaching movement of ISKCON society. And then the junior person who was supposed to coordinate the whole meeting, so Prabhupada starts talking to him and asked him that, what is the goal of your life? So Prabhupada, when he had met all the executives had given their cards to Prabhupada. So all those cards were lying in the front of the table. So this junior person picked up all those cards and he said, and he kept his card first, and then he said, this is my boss, kept his boss cards, and then this is his boss, and kept five cards. And then he removed his card from below and put it on the top. And he did not say anything. By sign language, he told Prabhupada, this is the goal of my life, to become from junior officer to become the main boss of this company. Then Prabhupada, for 20 minutes, Prabhupada preached to him that what you are thinking to be the goal of your life is temporary. The goal of human life is to execute Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead. 20 minutes, and that fellow was just hearing Prabhupada. So after that, Prabhupada went away. The next day, he again came back. And the chief executives are all sitting. This time, there were only three of them, and Prabhupada was there. And Prabhupada told, so we want you to print our books. But you know, see, we don't have money. And at best, I can only give you $1.30 for one book. When they heard $1.50, Prabhupada said, $1.50, they were all shocked. How can someone quote such a low price? It was a really low price, Prabhupada gave, $1.50. And said, Swamiji, the printing cost is so high, paper cost is so high. They were arguing. And Prabhupada says, I can't give. He said, no, Prabhupada, please understand. And finally, Prabhupada said, I don't know, you talk to my secretary. So now, all the executive, they turned to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying, I was just sitting here, silently, just seeing both the discussions happening. And suddenly the whole focus came on me, as if I am supposed to make a deal now. But he knew, Prabhupada has some plan in this also. So immediately told, Prabhupada, he said, all the executives, actually, our Swamiji, he does not know how much money we have in the account. He is telling two less price, two more price. According to me, as per my account, we can only pay $1. So the executives became more little. Now, Prabhupada is saying $1.50 and now he's saying $1. Lesser than Prabhupada's price. So they became, the argument became very heated, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was not agreeing, and they were not agreeing. And finally, Prabhupada banged the table and said, okay, I have heard both the parties. Now I'm third party. I'll make a decision. You all agree. And Prabhupada says, I feel $1.25 is enough. And the Dai Nippon executive agreed. They agreed for the book, $1.25. How it happened? Prabhupada had his own magic of Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada told all of them that, well, so Prabhupada was nicely talking with them, and in that whole deal, Prabhupada also arranged that many more books get printed from them. Back to God issues, Nectar of Instruction. And then Prabhupada told, see, we don't have money, we can give only less credit. So initially, only $5,000 was given as a credit for all that huge printing, and they all agreed. So Prabhupada was so intelligent in dealing with the outside world. Not only that, Prabhupada then later told them, please come to our room. And Prabhupada arranged a big mega feast for all these executives. So they were a little worried that, you know, we had a very less deal, we actually losing money. But when they came to meet Prabhupada and they ate Prabhupada's samosa, Prabhupada himself cooked samosa and kachori for them. And they ate that, they completely forgot. They were so happy, they were thanking Prabhupada for a deal. We'll keep meeting again, we'll have more deals like that. That was Prabhupada, very expert in dealing with the outside world. So, Prabhupada knew how to raise a person from the consciousness of body to a more advanced consciousness where he can serve Krishna. So here he was actually arranging for Dai Nippon executives to serve Krishna, and they were happily and pleasingly serve Krishna. They were not having grudge. They were happy that they were helping Srila Prabhupada. Now, I was hearing a lecture of Radha Govind Maharaj, and he was mentioning that that's how a devotee is. A devotee, he doesn't become a very strong preacher and starts condemning the bodily concept of life. Because people, while preaching, we all are stooped in bodily concept. And start preaching about bodily concept directly, people may become averse to Krishna consciousness. So therefore, they intelligently plan such a way that while engaging in the bodily concept, they make them devotee of Krishna. So Radha Govind Maharaj was giving a good example. Just like when you want to swim across the river on the other banks, and the river is flowing very swiftly, the current is very powerful. And if you have to swim across, you just cannot swim across straight. For some time, you have to swim with the current like this. But you slowly, slowly go towards the other bank. So you have to go like a zigzag way, you have to go, but reach the other bank. So it may look like a preacher is actually supporting someone's bodily concept and encouraging him in his, okay, you are doing very well, very well. But actually, slowly, slowly, the preacher has to remove him from bodily concept. Giriraj Maharaj mentions in his nice one lecture about how when Giriraj Maharaj became very sick in Bombay and Prabhupada advised him to go and take rest in Los Angeles temple for a month or so. And when Giriraj Maharaj went, that time Prabhupada had come to Los Angeles and he stayed maximum in Los Angeles at that time. So he got a lot of association of Prabhupada there. So Giriraj Maharaj was there recuperating from his health, and Giriraj Maharaj's parents had come to meet or maybe to take, whatever it may be. And then how Prabhupada dealt with them, that also was amazing. So Prabhupada was in a morning walk, and in this morning walk, Giriraj Maharaj, his parents, and along with them some scientists had come, some politicians also had come. So they're all working, and Prabhupada was dealing with everyone. And suddenly Prabhupada turned and saw Giriraj Maharaj's mother, and Prabhupada told, "You look very young." So this lady, I mean, she was already old. Giriraj Maharaj was son, that means she was very above 50 years. But when she heard that Prabhupada is saying that you are very young, she became so happy. She thought that Prabhupada is commenting on her beauty. And that's the only one thing Prabhupada told her. And that kept her happy throughout the whole journey. And throughout the whole time she was with Prabhupada, she felt Prabhupada is encouraging her. Prabhupada is the only one who is appreciating her beauty. And then Prabhupada reached temple in that morning walk, and there was a Rolls-Royce car. So the Rolls-Royce car was there. Giriraj Maharaj's father saw the Rolls-Royce and he became a little intrigued. And everyone could see that there was some change of face, and he could say, "What is this? This is Swamiji and this is Rolls-Royce?" So Prabhupada sensed that there was something wrong, fishy going on in the mind of Giriraj Maharaj's father, and immediately told, "My disciples have arranged this." And then he told, "Please come, have a ride with me." So immediately he boiled the whole thing into a small thing, and then immediately told, "Please come and ride with me." And he said, no, actually I have my own car, I will drive in my own car." And then Giriraj Maharaj recollects his uncle had come. His uncle was a doctor, and he was a very ethical doctor. And he was like so ethical that he would always come, and he would, whenever Giriraj Maharaj would speak to him, he would speak about only doctors, and how doctors should be, the main occupation of doctor is to save patients' life, and they should not be worried about money. The main welfare work is to save patients. So when he met Prabhupada, he kept on speaking about the same thing, doctor ethics. And Maharaj mentioned Giriraj Maharaj that I never saw Prabhupada so silent. He didn't speak at all. This person was speaking about doctor ethics. 25 minutes he kept on speaking, Prabhupada heard him. And 2-3 minutes Prabhupada spoke, that's it, no philosophy. But when the uncle left, he called Giriraj Maharaj and said, "I have never met such a wonderful person in my life." And then he asked Giriraj Maharaj, "Can I get his photograph? I want to keep it in my desk." Without talking, Prabhupada impressed him. And he had Prabhupada's photo on his desk. So Prabhupada knew how to deal with each and every person who is in stooped in bodily concept of life and get him up in Krishna consciousness. So these are some few pastimes which I thought of sharing with all of you. In the end, Prabhupada says in the verse, Prabhupada mentions, the result of such cruel behavior is that ultimately, cruel behavior, the result is that person is actually dead while living. And when he dies, he goes to hell, hellish planets. And therefore Prabhupada says that if one wants to free oneself from the hellish existence, one has to overcome the bodily concept of life. That is important. Hare Krishna, time is running. We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.